أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب، ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون، صدق الله العظيم. This verse in the Quran was revealed after the change of the Qibla from Masjid al-Aqsa to Al-Masjid al-Haram. But it carries a lot of meanings which are very important and are quite relevant to us today as they were then. If anything at all, probably they are more relevant today. I'll just very quickly read the translation, although the translation is almost not, you know, is not as accurate usually, but it's as close as can be in English. It is no virtue that you face towards east or west, but the virtue is to sincerely believe in Allah, the last day, the day of judgment, the books, the prophets, and to spend of money that you love for those who, the close ones, the relatives, the orphans, the needy ones, and the wayfarers, the beggars and the slaves, and to establish salah, prayer, and to pay zakah, and for those who keep their pledges and show fortitude in hardship and adversity and struggle. Such are the truthful people and such are the pious. So this is a very deep ayah. Every single word in this ayah carries a meaning and carries a lot of advice to us. So let's start with the first part. It says, Laysa al-birra. The word birr is difficult to translate in English, but when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, مَا هُوَ الْبِرُّ؟ قَالَ الْبِرُّ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ وَالْإِثْمِ مَا حَقَّ فِي صَدْرِكَ وَكَرِهْتَ أَنْ يَطَلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. He said, birr is, in short, is good morals, good attitude. And ith is whatever feelings you have inside, and you would be ashamed of it if people could see it. However, this ayah makes it quite clear that it's not about rituals and traditions, and it's not about how we hold on too tightly to rituals, but it is much deeper than that. So it gives us three bases, three main things, three aspects. One, al-aqidah, the belief. Two, husn al-mu'ashara, that is the ethics. And three, tazkiyat al-nafs, cleansing of al-nafs or cleansing of the soul. So these are the three aspects that count. It is not how you do things. It's not whether you face east or west in your prayer. It's not about trying to find out exactly is the Qibla 2 degrees to the right or 2 degrees to the left. It is much deeper than that. These are the three aspects. These are the three parts of it. Al-birr, as I said, is difficult to translate exactly in English, but it means, in short, it's something that inclusive of all good. So the all good is not to stick to the strict rituals. Yes, you should stick to the rituals as much as you can, but that's not what it's all about. It is much deeper than that, as I said. So, ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب. Now, this gives us a very interesting meaning. It means that we are not accountable for actions, because actions are actually in the hand of Allah. But we are accountable for intentions. So it's how we intend to do things. So you might, for example, somebody might come to the mosque, but the intention is for other people to see him or to see her. It is not about coming to the mosque and performing your prayer and appearing to be pious in front of people. It's about what's inside you, because this is what Allah can see and this is what we're going to be accountable for. Actions are not in our hands. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ You might want to do something, but Allah will not allow it to happen. Yet, if it is a good deed, although He might not allow you to do it, you will still be rewarded for it. How many people, I'm sure a lot of you have had this experience when you had the intention, for example, to go to Umrah or go to Hajj, and you couldn't do it for whatever reason. You couldn't get a visa, you couldn't get travel or whatever. So, because Allah did not intend it for you, but your niyyah was there, your intention was there, so you are going to be rewarded for it. So it's very important to look, to keep this in mind. Then it, as I said, it gives us three categories. The three categories, just to sum up again, al-aqidah, the belief, husn al-mu'ashara, the ethics, and tazkiyat al-nafs, the cleansing of al-nafs. So let's take the first one, the belief. And we all know that there are two aspects of belief, the belief and the Islam. From the famous hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel when he came to teach the Muslims about Iman and Islam, we all know that. However, in this ayah, it's slightly different, because it goes in a very logical way. So the first thing, before you become a believer, for anybody to become a believer, it's a very logical approach. The first thing is you have to believe in a God. You have to believe in Allah. You have to believe in Allah. You have to believe that Allah exists. You have to believe in all His attributes. You have to believe that there is only one God. So this is the first basic step. You believe in Allah. Now, if you believe in Allah, then you believe that Allah is going to hold us all accountable. So you must believe in a day of judgment. So the first step was, مَنْ أَمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ So the second thing is to believe in a day of judgment. You believe that whatever happens here, you're going to be brought to account. Then, it leads to the next stage. So if this is the case, how does Allah let us know what He wants from us? He must have messengers, a link. And this link is through the angels, الْمَلَائِكَ So, آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة. And then, what do the angels do? The angels convey the message, والكتاب, the books, all the books. توراة, الإنجيل, القرآن, all the books of Allah, it is the message of Allah. So after we believe, you know, Allah sends us the books through the angels, because they are the conveyors, they transport it to who? To the prophets. So it's a very logical sequence of events. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ So this is the basics of belief. You have to believe in all these things. Because some people whose belief is not complete, they say, look, I believe in a creator. Yes, there is a creator. There's a force. But I don't believe in angels. These are myths. It's a mythology. I don't believe in the books. I don't believe in prophets. Unless you believe in all these things, you cannot call yourself a believer. So Allah tells us that the first section of al-birr is to have a full belief. And as I said, in a very logical way. This leads us to the next part, the second part, which is husn al-mu'ashara, or ethics. So what does it teach us in ethics in this ayah? It says, آتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ giving money you love. Translation can be giving money, giving from the money that you love. Or giving money because you love Allah, for the love of Allah. Whatever it is, both meanings lead to the same direction. So you give money, you give of the money of your love. Now, this is not zakah. This is not the obligatory money that we all have to pay. This is sadaqah. Because this is money, giving money from the money that you love. Money that you feel dear to you. The best time to give sadaqah is when you are healthy, when you feel I've still got life ahead of me, and you are a bit needy. This is the best time to give sadaqah. It's not the time when you're about to die and in your deathbed and you say, fine, okay, now I give my money away. It's too late. The best time to give is when the money is dear to you. And this is what this ayah teaches us. So, it then teaches us who to give this money to. Gives several categories. The first one is Zawil Qurba, the closer ones to you, the family members. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that sadaqatuk ala al-miskin sadaqa. If you give sadaqa, if you give charity to a poor person, it is one sadaqa. But if you give it to a rahim, which is relative of yours who needs money, itnatan. Sadaqa wa salat rahim. So you should look around you and see if any members of your family are in need of money. You must look for them and give them the money because you get double for this. So this is the first aspect of sadaqat. Before even looking for, because a lot of us sometimes look around and say, look, I'm going to donate money to whatever, which is good. I mean, for example, refugees in Syria, which is good that they need the money. You should help them as well. But if you have any relatives who are needy of money, they should be number one first. So look around you if you have any relatives, if you have any close family or even distant family who are in need. Dhawil Qurba wal Yatama. Al Yatama are the orphans. In Islam, an orphan is somebody, a child whose father died, not whose mother died. So a child whose father died and hasn't got yet to puberty. There is no orphanage after puberty. Once a child has got to age of puberty, it's not an orphan anymore. So if you want to look for orphans, it's looking for people who have lost their fathers and who are younger than the age of puberty. Then it goes on to fuqara wal masakin. These are two categories. And it's interesting that they made the differentiation between the two. It's very difficult in English to translate it, because it translates as the poor. But actually there are two different categories, because it can be a person who's poor, he can't even have enough food to eat. This is one category, who doesn't have anything at all. Or it could be somebody who apparently is quite okay, he's doing well. But according to his social standard, does not have enough to live in the social standard that he should be in. I'm not talking about luxuries, but I'm talking about not having enough. For example, if somebody who's got kids in schools but can't afford to pay for them, then comes under this category. And that's very interesting as well, the differentiation between the two. Then it goes to the next, Ibn al-Sabil. Ibn al-Sabil is somebody who might be quite rich where he is at home, but away from his home he doesn't have the money. And under this comes the refugees. So when we say here we want to help the Syrian refugees or other refugees in this country, even though they might be well off in their own countries, but here they don't have money, so this is where Allah tells us to help out, to pay money out to. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ فِي الرِّقَابِ is two categories again. Those, if there are any prisoners, if you pay money to free prisoners, it is fard ayn, fard kifaya. If there are any Muslims anywhere in the world who are held prisoners because they don't have money, or you would be able to bail them out by paying some money, then it is our duty to do that. And if one of us does it, it's great. If none of us do it, then we're all in trouble. Or it was a way of getting rid of slavery. In the good old days when there was still slavery, Allah was encouraging Muslims to buy the slaves and set them free. That's the way to get rid of slavery. Then comes to the third category, which is the tazkiyat in nafs. and that is to cleanse the self. Sorry, before that there was إقامت الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. So إقامة الصلاة وآتى الزكاة. إقامة الصلاة is very important. The word is very important. The way it's been put, it did not say وصلى. صلى means you pray. إقامة الصلاة means two things. Means that you have done the prayer, but done it the way it should be done. So first thing, you try to pray on time. Second thing, you must do your prayer in a way it has been done, so it will be accepted. The Prophet was sitting in his mosque one day, and a man walked in, and he prayed. So he told him, "You have not prayed, repeat your prayer." So he did it again. And he said, "You have not prayed, repeat your prayer." So he did it for the third time. And he said, "You have not prayed, repeat your prayer." So he said, "Prophet, I don't know what to do. That's how I know how to do prayer." He said, "No. When you do your prayer, you must do your ruku'. Give it enough time. Don't rush it. Do your sujood. Do not be like a chicken that's pecking the ground. So you should do your sujood, and in between the two sajdas you should sit and take your time. This is how the prayer should be done." And that's why it did not say wasalla, but said aqama salah. It means doing the salah in a proper manner. And wa khairul a'mal as-salatu li waqtiha. The best of the deeds is to do your prayer at the beginning of its time, not wait towards the end of the time of the prayer. Wa ata zakah, to pay the zakah, which is the obligatory sadaqah. And this emphasizes the meaning that the first bit of the ayah, which was talking about spending money that you love, they weren't talking about zakah, but was talking about sadaqah, sadaqah tatawwu'. And then it goes to the next category, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. Now, here's a very interesting point, which for the Arabic speakers, they will appreciate it very much. Because وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بَعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. مُوفُونَ بَعَهْدِهِمْ, those who fulfilled their promises. وَالْمُوفُونَ بَعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Linguistically, because this is عَطْف, it should have been وَالصَّابِرُونَ, not وَالصَّابِرِينَ. وَالْمُوفُونَ بَعَهْدِهِمْ, it should have been وَالصَّابِرُونَ. But it says here وَالصَّابِرِينَ. And this is a very interesting point. Because the Arabs, when they wanted to highlight the importance of a point, whether it's good or bad, they would do that. It's a way of shocking the ear, because suddenly you hear something and you say, "Hang on, that's wrong, it shouldn't be that." It's bringing to your attention the importance of this. So this ayah is bringing to us the importance of a sabr. Sabr is translated into patience, but it's not really, it's endurance. It's being able to cope with difficulty and hardship. But here it gives three categories of sabr. الصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس. البأساء is when you are tested in your belongings or your money. So if you have a businessman, you have a lot of money and you lose all your money, you go through بأساء, hard time, hardship. Then you should experience sabr. This is where you show the sabr. الضراء is if you are tested in your health. So if you become ill, especially if it's a chronic illness. In a hadith Qudsi, the Prophet tells us that Allah says, أَيَّمَا عَبْدٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِ ابْتَلَيْتُهُ بَلَاءً فِي فِرَاشِهِ فَلَمْ يَشْكُوا إِلَىٰ عُوَادِهِ. If I test one of my slaves, one of my worshippers, by a disease that makes him stay in bed, and he did not complain, i.e. he experiences sabr, and he does not complain to people about them. He doesn't keep saying, "Oh, why me? Why does this happen to me? You know, I'm suffering so much." But he keeps it, يحتسب to Allah. أبدلته لحما خيرا من لحمه ودما خيرا من دمه فإن قبضته إلى رحمتي وإن عافيته عافيته وليس عليه دم. The Sahaba, so if somebody does that, I will change his blood and change his flesh better than what he has. And when they asked him, what does this mean? He said that if he is cured, he will be cured and he is forgiven for all his sins. And if he does not cure, if he does not recover from the illness and dies during this illness, then he is forgiven and he goes into my mercy. So this is one other attribute that's very important. And then the ayah ends by telling us that whoever meets these three attributes, These are the ones, الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا These are the ones who have been truthful. And again, linguistically speaking, it should have said أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ But it said أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا in a past tense, indicating that it is a continuous state. They are always truthful. In their lifetimes they are truthful to Allah. In their lifetime they are always truthful to Allah, to other people, to everything that they do in their lifetime and after that they will be truthful as well, inshaAllah. Now this brings up very quickly hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who says, Ayat al-Munafiq, the hypocrite, has got four attributes. إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا أؤتمن خان فمن كان فيه الأربع فهو منافق خالص ومن كن فيه واحدة ففيه خصلة من النفاق. The attributes of a hypocrite are four things. If he speaks, he lies. And if he promises, he does not fulfill his promise. And if he is entrusted with something, he does not keep his trust. And if he falls, he has a differences with has a problem with somebody else, then he goes overboard. If somebody has these four attributes, then he is a pure hypocrite. And if somebody has only one or two of these attributes, then he has got part of hypocrisy. And he should try to cleanse himself, or she should try to cleanse herself of that. Also, the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ Always be truthful. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ Truthfulness, if you're always truthful, it will lead you to birr. We already discussed birr. وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ And this will lead to Jannah. وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا A person who continuously tries to be truthful all the time and makes the effort to do that, he will be written in God's books as being a Siddiq, like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, like being truthful. وَإِيَّكُمْ وَالْكَذِبُ And I'm warning you of lying or telling lies. فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ Continuously lying is going to lead you astray. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ And this leads to hellfire. وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا If you keep lying and lying and lying and telling lies, you're going to be written in God's books as being a liar. So we just need to be careful. Now this is a quick highlight of the depth of the meanings in this ayah, as all ayat in the Quran. But this ayah in particular is very important, so I thought I better highlight it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. So the ayah, as I said, was revealed when after the change of the qibla from al-Masjid al-Haram to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and this was al-Masjid al-Aqsa to al-Masjid al-Haram, and this was in Medina. Now, two interesting things here about this very quickly. One of them is that this happened in Medina. So the Prophet and the Muslims were praying to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa for 10 whole years. Although the Prophet loved Al-Masjid Al-Haram and wished that he could pray to Al-Kaaba, which has been changed to later on. But for 10 whole years, it was in Masjid Al-Aqsa. And then for 6 years only in Medina, he prayed to Masjid Al-Haram. Now, this is for a reason, because Allah tells the Prophet that, I know that, Allah of course knows all, but He tells him in the Quran, I know that you wanted to pray to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, yet I made you pray to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And it's probably a message for us all, that Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is a very important aspect for Muslims. It's a very deep meaning for Muslims. We must not forget that. We must not allow anybody to change the importance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is an integral part of our belief and it should always be in the hands of Muslims, inshallah. The second part is about the final words in this ayah which says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ And we all know what taqwa is. I won't go into details about that, but taqwa has got several levels. When Umar ibn Khattab was asked, what is the definition of taqwa? He said, if you are wearing a long robe and walking through a path that's full of dirt and thorns, what would you do? You would be careful to be careful where you tread so that you don't tread on the dirt or the thorns. This is how we should be in life. We should look as where we're stepping, where we're going, so that we don't tread on Allah's haram while we're walking in life. However, there's a much deeper meaning to that, especially with Ramadan coming up. Ramadan's in less than 2 weeks. The scholars teach us that taqwa, أن تتقي أن يحل في قلبك غير الله. Taqwa is to be aware, be careful, that nothing creeps into your heart except Allah. Have only Allah in your heart. Have Allah fill your heart with the light. It's very difficult, of course, for us to do that. But it's a very good time for us to do that in Ramadan. It's a very good chance for us to experience this in Ramadan. Ramadan is coming soon, and you would not be able to switch overnight. We all have interests in life, especially with the modern life. Everybody's worried about their business, their cars, their studies, whatever. But at least during the month of Ramadan, try to free your heart of all these and just keep Allah in your heart. You will not be able to switch overnight when Ramadan starts. So it is the time now to start preparing your heart to accept the lights of Allah during Ramadan. I hope that we can all achieve that. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma la tu'amminna makrak. Wa la tarfa anna sitrik. Wa la tinsina dhikrik. Wa la taj'alna min al-ghafilin. Allahumma atina wa la tahrimna. Wa athirna wa la tu'thir alayna. Wa akrimna wa la tuhinna. Allahumma akfina bihalalika an haramak. Wa aghnina bifadlika amman suwak. Allahumma innana nas'aluka imanan la yanfath. ويقينا لا يتزعزع وقرة عين تدوم اللهم نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغميمة من كل بر اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وسامحنا وتب علينا واغفر اللهم للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب للدعوات عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.